Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
This is Phil Nee. I hope all your trails are happy until we meet again. We'll be back your way again to talk a little community shop here on The Morning Show, and also a little bit later on with some more great music for you and artist news and entertainment. We have our update at 9, courtesy of ABC. It's next, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. We're at 2 degrees in Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As officials assess the damage and prepare for more strong Santa Ana winds this week, people in Southern California want to know how the wildfire started. ABC's Matt Gutman has more from Pacific Palisades.
24 people lost their lives in this fire, and ABC News has learned that the ATF, the federal agency tasked with examining and investigating explosives and arson, is going to take the lead in investigating the Palisades fire, and arson is one of the factors that they are going to investigate. That is, Governor Gavin Newsom here has demanded an independent investigation into the water issue, specifically here in the Palisades. Fire hydrants running dry. He called it deeply disturbing.
Middle East mediators have been making significant progress in Gaza ceasefire talks. As of now, though, there's no imminent breakthrough announcement. The Senate begins hearings this week on President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Still watching Japan, where a strong earthquake hit the southern part of the country today. This is ABC News. TikTok for TikTok, creators and users alike waiting for the Supreme Court's decision on the law that could ban the app. It requires that TikTok's Chinese owner sell the platform by the 19th of January or be banned in the U.S. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
There's a possibility of a sale.
I think we offer a very compelling package to ByteDance.
Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary and a group of investors have offered to buy the app's U.S. assets from its Chinese parent company. But the owners have said a sale is a non-starter. Even if the ban does go through, it does not mean the app will vanish from your phone. But you won't be able to get software updates, and internet hosting companies are not allowed to keep offering their services to TikTok, so your feed may not show new videos.
And week one of the NFL playoffs wraps up tonight in Arizona. The Rams-Vikings game moved there by the Los Angeles wildfires. Sunday's winners, the Bills, Eagles, and seven-seed Commanders, who pulled off an upset with a field goal. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Our hours through Valentine's Day will be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 10 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 3. All garnet jewelry is on sale. Save 20% on your January birthstones. Also, a great gem color for a Valentine's gift for your sweetheart at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
A high of 15 degrees today. West winds at 10 to 16. Also tonight, partly cloudy and very cold. A low of 1 below zero. Tuesday, partly cloudy to sunny and still brisk. A high of 14. Tuesday night, a low of 1 below zero. Wednesday, 24 with sunshine and up to 38 for Thursday. Ever wondered if it's too late to become physically active? At Simon's Recreation Complex, they believe you're never too old to exercise. More and more older adults are proving this every day. Before you start, remember to take some precautions. Check with your doctor before beginning any exercise program. Start slow. Don't try to do too much too fast. Choose activities that are fun and suit your needs. Wear comfortable clothing and footwear, and always take time to warm up and cool down. Stretch slowly to avoid injuries. Simon's Recreation Complex is proud to be a part of Silver Sneakers, Silver and Fit, and Renew Active programs. These top fitness programs are designed specifically for older adults, ensuring your safety and enjoyment. Call or stop today. With your Medicare Supplement Insurance card, you may be eligible for a free membership, including all classes. Discover why many of the members call Simon's Recreation Complex their personal fountain of youth. Let them help you increase your energy and decrease the aches and pains of aging. Partner with Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center for a healthier, happier you. Remember, you bring the commitment, and they have the means to make it happen. Simon's Recreation Complex, where age is just a number and fitness is for everyone.
For generations, the Cairns family has been rooted in Richland County as small business owners. At Julie Cairns State Farm, you will find a local, dedicated team that leads with honest intentions to properly protect you. Yes, saving money is important, yet so is doing business with local professionals that will be there when you need them. We're here to participate in your lives, in our community's growth, and in helping create opportunities to make positive changes. Yes, you can save money, and yes, we will offer you remarkable service. Yet most importantly, our core values will make you proud to do business with us. Like a good neighbor, Julie Cairns State Farm is there.
When it comes to your home's plumbing needs, you can trust and rely on Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. From new water heaters, sump pumps, and garbage disposals, to fixing a leaky faucet or a running toilet, we will solve your issues and provide you with the best options for your home. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. As always, good to have you along as we keep you company with our morning show time today. And we have a full list of guests for this week in Southwest Wisconsin. We love to focus on the area schools, and today we're talking about River Valley Schools. And one of our favorite guests, Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator with the River Valley District, is in. How you doing there, Lauren?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out there. The sun is up. I know it doesn't feel real warm as if the sun has given us much, but when I got in the truck this morning, it said -1 as I was driving out on Bear Valley Road, and I was thinking, ooh, a little chilly out there this morning, but it's good. We got to school and did a few things this morning, and it's a beautiful day out there, a good time. It's really, for a lot of our school districts, the time when we're finishing up that first semester. So half the year is over for your school districts in Wisconsin. We're halfway through. It seems like we just started and talked about fall sports and homecoming and all those great things, and now we're halfway through. So January is a flip, and all our high schoolers will flip out of one semester into another semester, and that will happen for pretty much all the Richland County and Iowa County and Sauk County schools, and then we'll jump into the next semester. So it's a time of transition, but it's also a time to really put in some good hard work. We've got all our winter sports that are putting in their hard work, and kids in the classrooms are also putting in that great hard work, finishing up those exams and going to jump into new opportunities coming up as we get through January.
Do you have some nights off from extracurriculars when you're getting into testing for a night or two?
Really, not so much. I mean, it's so different because some districts, you know, the end of the semester will be this week. Some districts, it'll be next week. Some districts, it would be the third week in January. So it just depends on the district. We still try to remain pretty, I guess I would say, lighter on the scheduled activities on Wednesday, because we still have a lot of kids that go to religious education classes on Wednesdays, and we truly want to respect that as a district and continue to preserve that time. But usually Wednesday's the only night where we don't see a lot of opportunities to go watch a event. For example, tonight we've got girls basketball. We're excited about hosting Riverdale and girls basketball over at River Valley High School. And there's been wrestling all weekend, and there were other things. There was hockey this weekend. We've got kids down at the Dorian Festival at Luther College. So there's a lot of things happening in the winter, and kids are busy. kids, but active kids and busy kids are good kids, and I like that for our district.
Last time you were here, you were talking about the musical and the holiday break, and I presume the musical went real well?
It was smashingly successful. We had sold-out shows four nights in a row. We did really well with the budget. Again, River Valley has a great tradition of putting on some incredible shows. This year, we did the musical Mean Girls, which was written originally by Tina Fey, who's known from Saturday Night Live. But it's got a lot of satire in it, but it's got a great message about how to be kind and how to really get over the humps of all that peer pressure, if you will, and get into being a good person. And that's a nice message to deliver right at the holiday time. So we did that in December. And as soon as the musical's over, you have the holiday concerts and you have that break. But now we're back at it. And we're back to jump into the great things that January will give us as an opportunity.
School board, yes. I know that elections are coming up in the spring. So I presume that time has come and gone for people to get papers, right?
Yes, we did. I believe it was last week. And people that were in an open seat had to have their paperwork in. So in River Valley, we have three seats that are open. One of them is held by John Bettinger, and he is an incumbent, and he's chosen to run again, and he represents the village of Plain. We have another one that kind of represents Iowa County and a little bit of the other side of the river in Lone Rock, and that's held by Jeff Meyer, and he's an incumbent running again, so I'm excited about that. And then we will be transitioning in Spring Green, the village of Spring Green. There is a school board member, Sarah Young, who's been with us, I believe, for over 6 years, and she's transitioning out, and we have two people on our ballot. We have Emily Beck and Jess Heisel, two residents of Spring Green. So we will have an election coming up in April to decide that vote and to see who jumps into that seat on the River Valley School Board.
Let's talk a little bit about the school-to-work youth apprenticeship, because I know River Valley has always been one of the stalwarts in that regard, and it's not only a good month to talk about it, but kind of talk about how busy your students are off the campus as well, right?
It is. School-to-work is a great opportunity for children that are really interested in getting out into an apprenticeship or getting out into the workforce. And a lot of kids jump into high school, and then they think carefully about, okay, what courses am I going to take and what's going to lead me into the next steps? And so those paths are really what you can call work-based learning. You know, some kids love geometry and they want to be in that class, and then they want to go into advanced algebra, and maybe they want to go into stats, or maybe they want to go into all these high-level kind of postgraduate coursework to get ready for a college. But there are a lot of kids that want to go straight to work or into apprenticeship or possibly even into a technical program where they can get a good certificate and jump right into the workforce as well. So every school district has to really be thinking about the kids that are going on to work, kids that are going on to technical college, kids that are going into the service or maybe the armed forces, and then kids that are going into four-year college. And so we've got kind of four paths of every kid in 10, 11, and 12 as they start to set those schedules. In that vein, work-based learning or school apprenticeship work is a really big part of, I would say, even southwestern Wisconsin. It's a big part of it because we've got a lot of kids that just want to go get a job. They want to go back to the farm. Maybe they want to jump into working at Cardinal, or maybe they want to work at Lyco, or maybe they want to work at some of the other businesses around us. So we provide opportunities for students, specifically in their junior, senior year. If they get through their credits, let's say they've been taking credits freshman year, taking credits sophomore year, they get to their junior year and they can get through some credits in the morning, around lunchtime they can transition into school to work opportunity. And that would be where they go out and they jump into the workforce. They're getting paid, yet they're responsible to a teacher on our campus to tell us about how's it going? What goals did you set for yourself? Did you get there on time? What did your boss ask you to do? How is that different than what a teacher asked you to do? And so it's really getting them into those job place learning opportunities, and it really creates a future for a kid that gives them a competitive edge. If you've got a senior that graduates from high school that's been an apprentice for a plumber for a couple years, and then that plumbing institution says, hey, you've been great for a couple years, we'd really like you to be back with us after you get through maybe a journeymanship, that really creates opportunity for kids. And we're always trying to find that special spot for every kid so that they become a productive part of our society. It really leans into that idea, Phil, also of kids staying in southwestern Wisconsin. We don't want everybody to just pack up and move away. And we know that Wisconsin in general is decreasing in population, but we'd like whatever we have to come right back. We'd really like those kids to stay here or go get educated and come right back, because we've spent a lot of time and money and effort in making them good people, and we'd love for them to jump right into our communities. So this is another way for us to provide this realistic, great way to get kids involved in things that they truly love, but yet gets them thinking about what their next steps are after high school. And this is just one way to do it.
I think you have a good chance to keep them, as you mentioned. They get their foot in the door to business. Not that they're going to stay there for life, but certainly, you know, kind of learn about things in southwest Wisconsin, and, you know, a good chance to keep them here then.
That it's a great opportunity, and there are categories that they have to apply for in a youth apprenticeship. So, for example, there's restaurant, there's business, there's healthcare, there's consumer, like customer service is an example. There's agriculture, there's engineering, there's plumbing, there's electrical. So if you think of all these jobs that our dads and our brothers and sisters are doing, those are the jobs that these kids are out there trying. And I guess I brought along a list of businesses that I'd love to share with our listeners this morning, of different things that are out there and the different places our kids are placed. So a shout out to some of these businesses, because these are incredible places that River Valley kids are spending afternoons learning how to be a good worker. Artisan Exteriors, ASAP, Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue, a cooperative vet care services, Culver's, Aderer's Dairy Supply, Electronic Theater Controls, Finer Enterprises, Ganser Construction, Gilbertson's Brothers, Greenway Manor does 6 different youth apprenticeships for kids that are in CNA, that then in high school, maybe they're a CNA and they go on to being a nurse or a physician later on in life. So it's a great jump start into the healthcare. We've got J&J Ranch, J&J Total Lawn Care, KDS Trucking, Kramer Brothers takes on a couple kids, MW Fabrication, Meadows Assisted Living, again for that medical and learning about just the field of medicine, Mega Concrete, Midnight Repair, MPS Custom Welding. Welding has become such a great opportunity for kids to make a fine living. We're excited about those opportunities. We've got Needham Farms, Prime Components, Radel Irrigation, Ridgetop Dairy, Singing Fong Gardens, Thermodynamics, which gets into that like kind of HVAC, that heating and cooling systems, T-Mark Operations, Vintage Brewing out of Sauk. And then we've got Wisconsin Riverside Resort. And again, that's about restaurant or maybe even starting your own business, kind of that entrepreneurship. So a shout out to those businesses. Those are the businesses that our kids have been in just this semester. And we have a long tradition of having kids jump into these opportunities. So we're just thankful. We want to give a shout out to those businesses, but we want to make sure that all kids, and if you're a grandma, a grandpa, or a mom, or a dad, make sure your kid's really looking at the opportunities that a school could provide them as they're looking into their coursework, as they're getting up into those junior and senior years at high school.
My goodness, that's a wide variety of businesses that help out your students, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Goodness. We're really lucky. And it's no different if you're in Riverdale or in Richland or Ithaca. These are opportunities that the southwestern corner of Wisconsin has really grabbed onto. I want to do another, just another thank you out to Tom Martin. Tom Martin's a local businessman. He actually is from the Wazika-Steuben area. But Tom Martin works for CESA 3. And again, all districts are assigned to a CESA, and it's the letter CESA would stand for the Cooperative Education Service Agency. So when a district needs a little extra boost or help, the state of Wisconsin provides us with a CESA, and that CESA, ours is in Fenimore, is our head office there, and that CESA helps coordinate youth apprenticeship stuff so that they can work with, you know, the workforce dynamic out of Madison, make sure we're doing all the right steps and right paperwork to make sure that these youth apprenticeship opportunities are out there for kids. So again, a shout out to Tom and a shout out to our CESA that really provides these opportunities for kids in southwestern Wisconsin. We're really lucky. We're really lucky to see kids that want to grow up here, want to be here, but want to stay here. And this gives us the opportunity to kind of give them that chance to stick around and be a part of our communities.
Who puts out the feeler, Lauren, for these businesses showing that there's a student interested, and would they be interested in hosting?
It goes both ways, really, Phil. We've got some kids that maybe are really interested in HVAC, so they might look out to a normal business or a local business, and they might really talk to them and say, hey, I've really got an interest in this. Can I try it on a couple days a week in the afternoons? And most businesses say, absolutely, because our workforce is dwindling, and many people want to get those new young workers in. So It happens sometimes that the kids reach out. Sometimes, based on history and the great reputation in our districts in southwestern Wisconsin, the businesses reach out to us. So sometimes you might have a vet clinic say, I can't staff, you know, Tuesday evenings. I'd really love to have a kid come in and give them the opportunity to try on veterinary assistant work. Would there be anybody interested in that? We then take that in, we use that as a region, and then we try to find them a placement. So it goes both ways. So if you're a local business out there and you're interested in getting kids into your workforce, reach out to your local high school. So there's always somebody that's willing to listen.
I can speak from experience because we've had a few over the years, and I think it rejuvenates the old guys. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes in and you see their fire and passion and their energy, and you kind of feed off that yourself sometimes.
Absolutely. I might pick on you a little bit here, Phil, but I think of like social media and how WRCO has had to jump into being a bigger part of social media. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just, oh, it's Facebook. It's Facebook. It's Instagram. It's TikTok. It's all the different things that are out there to make sure that people, no matter what avenue they're trying to get that information, know that WRCO is a great regional representation of radio. So it's all of those things that I think our youth can bring us. They can bring us that extra energy, that extra spark to make us, as I'll call myself, old people, right? Jump us into that new way of learning and that new way of doing. Because True. We didn't carry a phone in our pocket as we went to high school, but every kid now does. Right. So we need to be available and learn from them. That's for sure.
Remaining relevant is a way to
put it. A great way to look at it. Sure. You bet. We have to remain relevant.
Well, I know the strategic plan that's been released. You've talked about that quite a few times.
Yep.
Anything new on that regard, Laura?
Yeah. Well, in all districts in Wisconsin, the strategic plan is something that we just really want to keep our focus on. So in River Valley, we believe that, you know, students are number one, instruction is rigorous, we work on assessment, but that it's a collaborative process. So one of the things I'd really like to talk about, because it's going to become time for finances to become a big deal in districts again. As soon as you start a school year, you've set that budget kind of and that's ready. That happens usually in October for most districts. You're starting to think about what's coming in the future years. And so as River Valley took a look at future years, we looked hard and long at some of our finances. And one of the things in our financial operations area on our strategic plan is it talks about responsibly managing our operations and our finances. Specifically, number one, you have to remain competitive with teacher salaries because you have to have people in your classrooms. But in our strategic plan, it also talks about correlating district staffing to enrollment and making sure that if enrollment goes down, staffing goes down. And that's something that's not very easy sometimes because staffing doesn't go down in happy little convenient ways. Enrollment doesn't go down in happy little convenient ways. You might lose one kid in this grade and one kid in that grade. You might have a small class size in maybe fourth grade, but a big class size in fifth grade. And so you're always trying to find that wonderful balance in a school and in a district to make sure you're maintaining. But at some point, you have to make sure that you're making cuts where they're needed. And one of the things that I'm really proud of for the work of our school board as well as our administrative team is River Valley has right-sized, I'll call it, in the right way. And I've got statistics on this, but back in 2010, we had 125 staff members. We needed 125 staff members because we had around 1,350 kids, right? 1,350 kids. So that made sense. That was a good staffing size at that time. But if you come forward to 2025, which is 15 years later, we've got 1,335 kids. So we're down by about 300 kids. I have to make sure that correlates with staffing. I have to make sure I'm not spending the same money I did in 2010 for the amount of kids that I have in 2025. And the statistic that I'm proud to share is that really we've lost about 25% of our enrollment, but we've also lost 25% of our staffing. Staffing is the most expensive kind of line in an budget for a district. It's just simply what we have to have. So I'm proud to say that we have right-sized in the right way. And it's not easy work. You might have somebody that's been in your district for 25 years, but their job isn't what it was at one time. So they have to do more with less. That's never a popular conversation, but River Valley has really taken on that idea of right-sizing and reducing our teaching staff when it's compared to our enrollment to make sure that we're continuing to offer that incredible product of education, but that we're bringing down the staff size to match our class size. So one of the things that River Valley has had a long and hard conversations in the last 3, 4, 6 months around is whether or not we can maintain 4 buildings. We have an elementary on our campus in Spring Green. We have a middle school on our campus in Spring Green, and we have a high school on our campus in Spring Green. Yet, we had an early learning center up north in Plain, and I call it up north because it's 11 miles, but that school in Plain housed our 4K program, that'd be pre-kindergarten, and then it housed our kindergarten program. And sadly, it has been made as a decision that we have to close that building. So our 4K, 5K early learning center in Plain will be closing at the end of this school year. It's a beautiful little building. It's got one of the most beautiful views. It's got a playground that goes on forever. It's just a beautiful space, but it's not on our campus. And it complicates our busing routes. It complicates our budget. And it's something that we had to choose, very difficult conversation and very difficult decision to close that building and bring those kids down to the campus in Spring Green. So in the year 25-26, we will all be on the campus in Spring Green. And anybody that's listening knows that we've gone on a journey in the last 10 years in River Valley where we had an elementary in Lone Rock. We had an elementary in Arena. We had a full elementary in Plain, and we had a full elementary in Spring Green. All of those exterior kind of satellite buildings are now going to be closed because we have to right-size again with our enrollment, and part of that is making the savings. So within that savings, when we're up at the ELC, that Early Learning Center, you can look at what would it cost us on an annual basis to keep that building open. And when you take a look at the bus routes, the electrical, the water, the sewer, the all the different things it takes to run that building, we can get a savings of around $300,000. And in a district that's always fighting for enrollment and always fighting for budget dollars, $300,000 is a lot. So we took that on and said, school board, what do you want to do? Do you want us to take a look at that in the end of the 25-26 school year or at the beginning of the 25-26 school year? When do you want to close this building? And our board members thought long and hard around that kind of concept of how quick we could transition, and they believe that we can do it at the end of the school year. So the decision has been made. It's been approved at the school board level, and we will be closing that early learning center. What that does, though, is that brings more kids to campus in Spring Green. And that's a good thing. That's our central location anyway, so it's going to help us with busing, which is a big deal for River Valley. We have 23 bus routes that go out kind of from that central hub. But within that, we're going to have to redo all busing, and we're going to have to move a lot of teachers. The extra space we have right now is actually at River Valley High School. But we can't put 4K and 5K into the high school because they don't have the bathrooms or the playground or the space that matches little people. So what we have to do is bring little people into the elementary, some of the elementary into the middle school, and some of the middle school into the high school. So we're going to be really transitioning a lot of staff members this summer. It's going to be a logistical dance to make sure that the high school gets to move around first. Middle school people will come into the high school, some of the middle school people. Then you come to the middle school. Some of them are going to stay put, but some will have to move. We bring 2 grades into the middle school. And then over at the elementary school, some are going to move out. And after that happens, then we'll bring down the 4K, 5K. So we will most likely have 3 buildings. One of them will house 4K, 5K, 1 and 2. The next building will house 3, 4, 5, 6. And our high school will become a middle school high school that will house 7th and 8th grade in a separate space from our high schoolers, and then it will house our 9, 10, 11, 12, just as it always has. So we've gone on this journey, we've surveyed staff, we've surveyed families, and we've really found out a plan that we think will meet the needs of our learners, but also keep us competitive in our region and save us a bunch of money. And that's really what we're trying to do.
When you say some of the middle school staff, then does that mean, are you talking about, will they be going to do 2 different buildings, or will you just mean the 6th grade stays at 1 building and 7th and 8th at another?
Correct. 5th and 6th grade will stay. The 7th and 8th grade will move. So the 7th and 8th grade, we have found a spot on the backside of the high school. And if anybody kind of knows as you walk in the doors of the high school, if you look straight ahead, there's a hallway. That's going to become kind of where the middle school will go. And that is separated from those bigger upperclassmen. So we really tried to, we could have moved 7th and 8th grade into little pockets around the building, and we just don't think that's best for the kids. And we've heard from a lot of families, they want the kids to still have a middle school feel. So we're going to really take a back part of our high school, really separate those kids, keep them safe, but also focus in on that middle school concept and keep them separated from our high schoolers as much as possible. But you know, they won't go to lunch with high schoolers. There'll be a middle school lunch. They won't go to Phi Ed with high schoolers. There'll be Phi Ed for middle school. Those things will happen separately, but they'll be in the same building, and that's typical of a lot of school districts in Wisconsin. Richland Center, Riverdale, Wisconsin Heights. A lot of our neighbors have had to go to a K-12 or a 7-12 model, and we're just having to do the same thing. And that's not a bad thing. That's just being more efficient with what you have. So we're going to be more efficient. We're going to save the money, and we'll move people around. It'll be a busy summer, but it's a summer that we're ready to dive into.
That hall that you talked about by the high school gym, the new high school gym, then there are a lot of high school classrooms in there. So they'll be moving. Is there space in the other wing to house them all?
Yes. There are really four wings at our high school, and there is space in the other three wings. So this back wing, I guess we could call it, will become the middle school. And there is space for – there's a lot of science back there and a lot of math. So our whole math department kind of has to pack up and move. And there's other classrooms back there like business, and there's a science classroom, but those classrooms are going to have to move around a little bit, and we'll get them to a different spot in the building, and that's okay, right? It's not as if just the 4K, 5K are moving because we're shutting that building. It's going to take a lot of prep, a lot of logistics, but we're ready for the job, and we'll get it done, and we'll do it with a probably not a happy heart, but at least a positive outlook on the great opportunities it's going to give us. We have to have the outlook that this is going to give us new opportunities. If we don't look at it positively, we're just going to sulk and whine our way through it, and that's not going to help anybody. So we're going to dive into it. We're going to remain positive. We're going to jump ahead and just get ready for what brings us to the 25-26 school year. So that's our future plans. I wanted to make sure I talked about that today to make sure that folks knew that it's coming, that we took it really seriously. We don't want people to think that it's going to be easy, but it's necessary, and it's something that we believe we can do without really affecting too many of our programs or too many things. We're still going to be able to offer all this great programming for our kids. We're just going to have to do it a little bit differently in a little different space, and we can do that. So again, tightening the belt and trying to do our best to be fiscally responsible, but also making some hard choices. And that's what other districts have had to do, and I'm excited for what the opportunities are going to be coming.
What happens to the building in Plain then?
That's a really good question. A lot of people have asked us. We really didn't figure that into our savings at this point. We know we can save money by not having kids there and keeping that upkeep. Most likely, and this is a board decision, and every board gets to have this decision when you close those buildings, is it will go up for sale. And upon that, we would hope that it becomes a great part of the Plain community. It's a nice structure. It's a good building. It's got a beautiful gym. It's got a nice little kitchen in it. So somebody could turn that into a common. That could become a part of a lot of different things. There could be another group that wants to buy it. It could be, for example, the one in Lone Rock, Arena, turned into senior apartments, as well as the gym space was rented out by a local business. So I think it can become a great thing for a community to enliven the next opportunity there too. So I don't know all those details yet, but I would just assume that that will come up for sale, and that will then jump back into the tax roll, which is always good for a district.
River Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest. We'll have more coming up on the morning show after this timeout.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
A member of WCCU Credit Union is easier than ever. With our robust and secure online banking, You can open your account from anywhere, anytime. Simply visit us at wccucreditunion.coop and select Join Us. Confirm your eligibility and choose the accounts you'd like to open. Already have a WCCU account but want to add a checking, savings, or apply for a loan? You can do that online, too. To compare our rates, services, and even open up accounts, visit us today at wccucreditunion.coop. WCCU is federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union feels so right.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
There's a certain satisfaction when you're on the road and you're driving a car from Sleepy Hollow.
Have you been to agriamerica.com? What are you waiting for? One site, one app, one stop for 24-hour ag news and podcasts. Ag news from the best reporters and podcasters, plus a steady stream of country hits for free. AgriAmerica, the place for timely, accurate, and dependable ag news. From the cab to the truck, to the barn to the kitchen, AgriAmerica is ready to arm you with the knowledge you need as a farmer or rancher. Grab your smartphone and get it today. AgriAmerica.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest on today's morning show here on WRCO Radio, as we talk about all the great things going on in the Valley, River Valley School District, and getting into the second semester. You had the second pupil count last week as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we did have that second pupil count, and you guys heard me talk about how enrollment has gone down a little bit, but we've really kind of stagnated right around that 1,050. Right now, we're at 1,035 kids. We've been right under 1,000 for the last 3-4 years now, so we're hoping to plateau and stay right there, right around that 1,000, which is still, in retrospect, for Southern Wisconsin, a pretty big district. Yeah, a lot of the districts around us house around 400 to 500, some even less than that. So we're excited to keep those 1,000 and provide those great things that we offer in Valley. I know before we went to the break, I talked a lot about some of those cuts that are coming and some of that right-sizing, I call it, to make sure that we're doing what we have to do to be fiscally responsible. But those are hard decisions, and those are things that we don't take lightly, and I don't want anybody to hear that we didn't have deep reflection and deep thought around what we reduced or what we had to do.
Some tough decisions, that's for sure. Let's talk about some of the other reductions you're looking at for the next year.
Yeah, when you go into leadership in any realm, whether it's radio or education, you go into leadership with the idea that you have to recognize needs and address them. And those are hard conversations. Those are really hard conversations. And I found an article the other day that talked about you just really have to be courageous in your honesty. You have to really throw it on the table and let everybody know what's going on so that nothing seems like it's being handled behind closed doors. You have to be really transparent. And so this article that I found, I just want people to recognize in any business, especially in Wisconsin where small businesses are dwindling and we want to keep the businesses around here, you have to really think about that discomfort that leadership deals with. I know I'm not asking for sympathy. What I'm asking for is understanding that we're all in this together and that it's hard work and that we have to clarify our purpose. And when we do that, I think that leans into my strategic plan. I need to clarify what is the plan and how do I provide the best education opportunities for the River Valley area. And then I have to examine it with my heart. I have to think about, if I have to go to a teacher and talk about reducing their position, how would that make me feel? How would that affect my family? How would that affect my budget? So I have to look at it, examine it with heart, and dig into it responsibly, but honestly. And then you have to identify any barriers and jump back to accountability. The River Valley District citizens have chosen me to be accountable to the budget they've given us. And we have to do that with our eyes wide open, and we have to do that responsibly. And so I do that with great conviction. I try to fight for the great programming that the kids need, and then also balance that with the limited budget that we're given from the state of Wisconsin. So we have to do those things. We engage in that conversation and dive in. In the district, some of those reductions are going to cover, there's everything in here, but I guess the list is there, but we're looking at all different things. We're looking at a reduction in force for our future school year. So in the 24-25 school year, at the conclusion of this year, we're going to be reducing about $700,000 worth of staffing. That's not fun. I don't take that lightly. I don't think about that carelessly. I jump into that, like I said before, with heart, but also responsibility, so that we can be careful and accountable at the same time. So when we closed a building and then did these reductions, really, we're able to say that in River Valley, we're going to be saving almost $1 million for the district before next year. So at the end of the school year, based on the reductions in force and reductions in that building, we're going to have a reduction in the district of around $1 million. So that when we come out to a referendum in April, the families and the citizens of River Valley know that we've done the work prior to coming to ask them to support our district. River Valley has had a three-year rotating operational referenda that we have been on, and one is being completed right now in the 24-25 school year. So in April, we're going to be coming to our local citizens again, asking for an operational referendum for the next 3 years. So for the year 25-26, 26-27, and 27-28, we're going to be asking for additional funding that really just continues the work that we're doing. We are running on an operational referendum right now. So it's almost like you're renewing your subscription to that operational referendum. It's not adding on a ton. As a matter of fact, next year we're going to be asking for less money than we needed this year because of those savings that we're doing. In the end, it's right around $15 million that we're going to be asking for. But we're also being very cognizant of the projected tax rate and our mill rates to keep those low so that we continue to meet the needs of the kids but balance out our budget. So that stuff is there. We'll be coming out with more referendum amount and details around that. Actually, I'm going to try to bring Mr. Brian Cry, my business operations manager, with me to the radio to make sure that we're here in February to just kind of talk about how we got to those numbers and how our district is kind of line itemed into a great budget that we feel like we're being really responsible with. And so, yes, River Valley is going to have to come back to you as voters in April for an operational referendum. And that's just the reality of it. And we're hoping to be transparent and honest about that as well.
Reduction in force a little bit in terms of, but you're not cutting any programs or classes then.
Correct. We are able to make do with less, and that's not easy. So when we'd like to take a look at this, that means one of the teachers or many of the teachers will have to do more with a little less. We're able to absorb some of those things, but that's also because we have fewer students. So maybe, I'll give you an example. Maybe I've always taught ninth grade. And as I teach ninth grade, that's been my focus in business education. But ninth grade is only sending me 75 kids instead of 100 kids. So now I have the opportunity to teach seventh and eighth grade and ninth grade. So by being more efficient and taking on more responsibility, I'm able to cover the same amount of courses that have always been offered, but I'm doing that with fewer costs to the district because we are able to reduce the force of the teacher at maybe seventh and eighth grade. That's an example that's hypothetical, but it's a way for us to say, as enrollment goes down, my job transitions to teach different grades, different subjects, different things. And we can do that in a couple different ways. Sometimes when people retire, you don't replace them. and everybody just does a little bit more and you absorb that. So that's happening quite a bit. So retirement can do it. Sometimes you can get teachers to volunteer. They may say, you know what? I want to go to half-time anyways. You know, I get my health benefits from my spouse. I'm going to go to half-time. That helps me not be a 1.0. I'm a 0.5. And so you have some volunteerism in there to get down to lower costs for a district. And then the third way is for the district to say, no, actually, we're reducing this position to this. So there's three ways to do it: attrition, volunteerism, and then reduction in force. And by the combination of those three, we are able to get down to $1 million of savings by next year.
If a staff member is moving on, not too hard to find a job this day.
No, certainly not. And that's the hard part, because we work hard at trying to fill every single one of those positions. But at the end of the day, if I don't need it, I have to go through a process of elimination. And so we'll take a look at that. And any of those people that are reduced in force have that opportunity. In education, it's become such a competitive market, where I used to be looking at 100 applicants putting in for a job, we're now getting like 25 in some fields. In some fields, I have to go seek out applications. One of the things that I've had the great pleasure of doing is I go to job fairs now as a superintendent. I've gone to the UW-Platteville job fair. I've gone to the UW-Oshkosh job fair. And I try to really enthuse those kids. I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, I was in Platteville and some young lady walked past me and she kind of looked up hesitantly. And I was like, okay, what are you going to graduate with? What do you need? Where you live in? How can I help you? And she said, well, I'm going to be graduating with a secondary degree in science. And I knew that I had a science opening. And I was like, you need to come to River Valley. Let me tell you about all the great things I can do for you, you know? And so it becomes a little bit of this dance where kids in college are now being recruited by districts to come to us, especially in rural. Rural Wisconsin is really having to get its game on when we think about recruitment, because there's not a lot of things out there for those young people as they come into our local, I guess, communities. So they may want to, if I was going to school in Platteville, I might want to stay in Platteville because there's going to be a science job there too. So I might want to find a suburban area. I might want to find an urban area. So we have to kind of put an extra spin on it to make sure the kids really realize the quality of education and the quality of living that you can get in the rural areas. And I think that's pretty fun to do. I actually love rural. I appreciate what kids can get in our great school systems in southwestern Wisconsin. And I personally came to the rural area after spending 22 years in a suburban area. I believe it's where kids can truly get the best education. So I'll fight for those kids and those teachers to want to stay here as well.
Will you have meetings in the community, informational
Absolutely.
Sessions?
Yes, there'll be informational sessions. We'll get all of that out to folks probably March and April. We just set these referendum amounts last Thursday night, so it's fresh off the press. Want to make sure people know it's coming. More details will be out there, and we'll make sure that we have community meetings and any opportunity for us to sit down and have a cup of coffee and really walk through what these expenses are. So I can do that with anybody, even if they're worried about the reduction in force. If they feel like we really need to be careful as we move ahead, I'm always willing to sit down and have a cup of coffee with anybody around that idea too. So we're not trying to do anything without public notice. We're just trying to get the information out there as soon as possible. So again, Thursday night at our board, we approved this referendum, and kind of fun that I get to be on the radio on Monday morning to talk about it.
We get the scoop here.
Yes, you do.
That's a good thing. Best case scenario is, you get the referendum, you pass it in April, and then maybe the state changes its formula for per pupil too.
It sure would be nice. Per pupil funding is something that's really interesting for me. How do I say this? I'm going to try to be nice about this. I fight for education, and so it's hard sometimes politically to be nice around that when I feel like our state has strapped us. But back in the day, and I'll just kind of put it in back in the day, prior to 2010, districts had inflational increases. So if inflation went up 2%, a district got 2% more. If inflation went up 3.5%, the district saw a 3.5% increase. That hasn't happened in the last 15 years. And so there's a lot of statistics out there, but I'll just give a rounded number. If I received inflationarily, I don't know if that's a word, but if I would to have received that inflation, I'd be getting around $3,500 more per kid. $3,500 more dollars per kid.
That'd be about double.
And
right?
Compounding, yes. Yeah. And then that would have compounded. And many districts would not be in this game of going to operational referendum. The state would be funding this. But that hasn't happened in Wisconsin. And because inflationary increases have not been given to us, we've had to really tighten that belt. And many people out there will look at me and say, well, you should have tightened your belt anyways. Okay, I'll agree to that. But when it gets to a point in a district where we are cutting and we're trying to still offer the great things that are out there, and there's open enrollment, so a kid can just say, you didn't offer me advanced chemistry, so I'm going to go somewhere else, so they can just pick up and leave, it's really hard to remain competitive. So the districts really have had to fight for identity, fight for those offerings, and we'll do so. It's good work. It's good to remain competitive. I'm not against that at all. But there is a point where you have to take a look at the funding formula and really analyze whether or not it's going to give rural the same it's giving urban and the same it's giving suburban. And I don't think that's true. And I think our legislators need to take a hard look at how they fund education, because it's not the same in Madison that it is in Middleton Cross Plains than it is in River Valley. And within 40 miles on one highway, you go from urban to suburban to rural. And we don't get the same funding formula because they have businesses, they have growth, they have the opportunity for such. I don't. And that directly affects what I can provide to kids. And I just don't know if that's fair. So to the people out there, I'm not trying to be grumbly. I am trying to say we need to analyze state funding for education more rapidly and to really, really have those questions for our legislators that are setting some of those rules for us. Because again, if inflation would have kept up with the way it was from 2010, I wouldn't be sitting here asking for more operational referendum funding. It's just the fact that we would have had it all along. So I'll be done with that grumble session. I'm going to fight for education for rural kids because I believe they get the best education. They're not a number. They're not a part of 1,000 kids graduating. They're a part of 100 or a part of 50. And that's an incredible thing because they get to know everybody in their school, not just the ones in their class. They get to know everyone. And I think that gives them something special. And I wanted that for my children, and I want that for your children. So I believe that a rural education is the best product that we can provide to kids, and that I'll fight for that as long as I'm here.
Some schools not too far away from you have not only passed referendum, but I mean, some of the bigger schools, they've had huge building, new high schools and new wings and everything else.
Correct. Correct. And anybody that's in River Valley knows that we're not in new buildings at all. I was fighting last year just to get some remodeling dollars for bathrooms so that we could meet ADA. We will have to do that within our budget. I heard that loud and clear. We're going to have to take care of that within our budget. So, again, we're reducing a building. That building's now closed at the end of the school year, so we'll have 3 buildings to focus on instead of 4. That means that I can take some of that maintenance budget and use it more sporadically or strategically. So we're going to do that. We can do that work. But I don't have the same opportunity or the same budget that people down the road have. And that's okay. That's our reality. But that means we have to be really careful about how we spend every dollar. And I think we are. I think we're really doing our best to, again, remain financially responsible, but trying to balance the great things that we offer for our kids.
Another challenge, too, is not only, classroom space and different classes that are required, but you're required for more staff for specialized education and teacher aides and things like that, more than you used to as well, Lauren.
Correct. So special education has funding that comes from federal and state as well, but it's mandated, right? So special education funding is mandated by the state that it has to be paid. Other things are not mandated. So if a need comes into my building, let's just say I have a student that maybe is blind. They are truly blind and that they need specialized education for that. That means I may have to have an assistant with them, or I might have to find a different kind of programming for them to remain successful in their education too. And they deserve that. But that is increased cost to my district. I don't get 100% of that special education funding from the state or the federal. I get about 33% of that. So the other 70% of that has to come out of my general fund. So, and again, that's a hypothetical situation. I don't have a student that's doing that to River Valley. But even if they did, that kid deserves that education. I'm not taking anything away from special education funding, but the state mandates that and then doesn't fund that. And that just means that it has to come from somewhere else. So it's no different than if you're running WRCO and the roof gets blown off. You got to put the roof back on. Right? So there's things that take precedent over that. And in this situation that you just shared, special education funding is not funded, but it's mandated. And that's a really interesting thing to us. So those are things that we want our legislators to also look at. If you funded special education even at 50%, it would help our district because I wouldn't have to take out of general funding to fund the mandated need. So there's a lot of things there. There are a couple legislators in the area that say, well, if we fund special education, you're just going to identify every kid as a special education kid. That's ludicrous. For an educator to want to put a kid into special education, that's not our goal. Our goal is for every kid to be in regular education. So for a legislator to think, oh, that's just going to increase special education, that's nonsense. We won't do that to kids. Number one, there's federal law on how you're identified for special education, so you can't. But beyond that, that's not what we want for kids. We want kids to be out in the mainstream getting ready to be a part of our communities, like our youth experiences that I talked about when I started the interview. So, yeah, you're right. Special education funding would be another great spot for them to boost us.
Some positives coming up here as well. You have mock trial. I know forensics will be getting underway.
Absolutely.
With competition. And
yeah, we've got great things. We've got mock trial that's just starting. And I just talked to Mr. Hollenberger the other day. He said he's got a young team, but an exciting team, that he's really excited about those things. We've got forensics that's about to start. And I think forensics offers kids just this great opportunity. I was a kid in forensics a long time ago. Big surprise with my big mouth. But that idea that forensics is out there for kids to be ready to present or to be ready to present and talk in the public is an incredible skill. I think that's a great thing. Other things that'll come up, we'll have solo and ensemble. So kids in their musical, whether it's instrumental or voice, will be working on those opportunities. We've got wrestling going on, both girls and boys wrestling going on, where we're remaining competitive. We've got girls and boys basketball going on. And again, great good luck to the team tonight. I'll try to get over there after my meeting tonight, but I want to watch the girls play Riverdale tonight. That'll be a fun thing. Our boys on Friday night, boys basketball, went up to Dodgeville. That had a great record. That's been competitive. A really fast team in Dodgeville, a really good shooting team in Dodgeville, and the Blackhawks beat them. And that was fun for us to hear about too. So great job to the boys basketball team and that great competition that we had this last Friday. Just great things happen. And those are the things that keep kids coming to school and being excited about their educational experience. So we want to continue to offer those great things to your kids, and we're excited about the great things that are coming up in the next months for the students of River Valley.
Thanks for the update from the River Valley area.
Absolutely. I'm glad to come anytime.
Good. And you'll be here next month, as mentioned. You might even bring a special guest or two.
Yeah, I'll try to bring a special guest or two, and maybe we'll dive into that school funding even more.
Okay, sounds good. Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator for the River Valley School District, on today's edition of The Morning Show.
To thrive and live well, you need a trusted partner in health and care when you need it. Gunderson Basketball's growing family medicine team is here to offer both and welcomes new and existing patients at our Basketball, Fenimore, and Muscadet clinics. With extended hours and the convenience of same or next day appointments and online scheduling through MyChart, it's never been easier to prioritize your health and well-being. Gunderson Basketball, bringing love plus medicine to you.
Richland Cattle Center would like to thank its many sellers and buyers for their continued support. This Wednesday's sale at the Richland Cattle Center at Ithaca begins at 11:30. This auction will include a quality run of recently fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, milking and bred cows, open heifers of all ages, and a breeding-age bull. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com. And don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday morning at 11:30.
For generations, the Cairns family has been rooted in Richland County as small business owners. At Julie Cairns State Farm, you will find a local, dedicated team that leads with honest intentions to properly protect you. Yes, saving money is important, yet so is doing business with local professionals that will be there when you need them. We're here to participate in your lives, in our community's growth, and in helping create opportunities to make positive changes. Yes, you can save money, and yes, we will offer you remarkable service. Yet most importantly, our core values will make you proud to do business with us. Like a good neighbor, Julie Cairns State Farm is there.
Simpson's Tractor and New Holland remind you being equipped for tomorrow starts today. There's a new world out there, a world that demands more from the land and those who grow, farm, and build on it. This new world calls for New Holland. Simpson's Tractor with sales, service, and rental can be just what you need to stay on track this year. Simpson Tractor has proudly served Richland Center and the surrounding area since 1920. Visit Simpson's Tractor in Richland Center, your New Holland dealer, today.
This is Mark Jelenic with the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Individuals often seek ways to ease the burden from their loved ones. One of the largest burdens you can take off your loved one is to make known what you wish to have done upon your death. We at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center and Muscadet are here to assist you in making your wishes known to your family in a comfortable, stress-free environment.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side, you need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Make TC Auto Works your one-stop shop for all your automotive needs. Whether it's an oil change, tires, complex repairs, or time to purchase your next vehicle, you can trust TC Auto Works for great service and sales. You'll find a selection of quality pre-owned vehicles. See a salesperson for details. View their full inventory at tcautoworks.com. TC Auto Works, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center, 383-1700.
Looking for the best in shoes and clothing? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Shoes, Mr. G.
WRCO!